flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome back, folks, and we are powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and Soso. We thank them for being great partners here as we broadcast live from Media Row. A new food product has come out, and
yes.
The crowd has all of a sudden reestablished itself.
They're clamoring,
again.
Yes. So here at the host committee booth, they've been feeding all of the 6,000 assembled media every day. And today it's gumbo day, and they are having a voting competition on if people prefer their gumbo over potato salad or rice. And potato salad's been running away with it, 83-56 right now, beating rice. But now they're offering etouffee over potato salad or rice. You preferred the gumbo over the potato salad. You just tried the etouffee over the potato salad.
Killer. That's all I can say.
Oh, it was so good.
It was good.
It was so good. And to have the hot etouffee with the cold potato salad. Oh, if you haven't tried it, folks, oh, my goodness. So
I just love watching the people's reaction that are not from here, that are in that line, and they can't wait to dig that spoon into it, and they take that first bite, and they just look at the person they're with, and they're like, oh, my God.
And the eyebrows go up, and then they immediately take a second bite and get back in line.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's amazing what a four-day minimum stay at the hotels will do, because yeah. Today is 4 days before, well, if you're going to stay four nights, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, for the Super Bowl, you got to arrive in New Orleans today to meet that four-day minimum stay. And I got to tell you, the crowd has blossomed.
There really are
so many people, more now than there have been all week, getting ready for Sunday's Super Bowl.
No, absolutely. No doubt about it. A lot of folks in town. A lot of social media influencers working their way around, seeing all of the celebrities.
Someone walked up
to
us a minute ago. He's like, hey, can I do a panned video of you guys? Look at the camera and wave. I'm like, sure. I don't know who you are or why, where this video is going to end up, but we'll do it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to move on here. We are joined by Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. As you know, Dave, he joins me every Thursday at noon, and we appreciate same. Rafi, welcome to the show.
Hey, my pleasure. Sorry I'm not there with you. Sounds like it's delicious.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's jump right in this, Rafi. 2025, January, we are 1 month down, and according to your stats, one of the lowest crime rate months in a long time.
Right. So everyone knows, you know, how horribly January 1st started, but when I looked at the end of the month stats, it really struck me how safe January was. So I asked my staff to go back and compare the last 11 Januaries, going all the way back to 2015, to see how January of 2025 ranked. And we compared it from a violent crime perspective. And we compared it to the property crime incidents going back 11 years. And what we saw was, for the month of January in 2025, the aggregate violent crime rate was the lowest that we've seen in 11 years. And the same can be said of the property crime rate. So violent crime which consists of homicides, non-fatal shootings, carjackings, and armed robberies. There were 49 major violent crime incidents reported in January of 25. This represents a 74% decrease over 22's reported crime. And the decline that we've shown in January of this year compared to the previous low water mark for violent crime, which was 2019, was a 30% decline in violent crime. So it's a testament to some of the things that law enforcement is doing right. And the same applies when we took a look at the aggregate property rate, the property crime rate. So property crime consists of auto theft, vehicle burglaries, business burglaries, and residential burglaries. And there were 405 property incidents reported in January of 2025. That represents a 27% decrease to the previous low water mark of 2018. So what we're seeing is that when you take a look at the property crimes reported in January and compare it with the high water mark of property crimes from 2023, it represents a 74% decrease in property crimes over the past 11 years in this city when you take a look at the month of January.
So
the city's gotten off to a positive start in 2025. And, you know, our hope is and the expectation is that we continue to build upon that success as the year goes along.
Yeah, a munch trend is a munch trend. Not to rain on that parade at all, but you had a significant weather event that was, I think, very influential of folks' inability to move around. But we'll see, because
absolutely,
I think February thus far is stacking up to be some of the same situation. And then we get into Mardi Gras, which is always an interesting time. Some years kind of ugly, and other years not at all, right?
Right. Right. Well, I think what we're seeing, and I know, you know, you've noticed that, you know, what happened on January the 1st made everybody reassess everything that they're doing. And, you know, those numbers that we amassed in January, that wasn't necessarily because the police department was doing anything wrong before that or really changed anything significantly. They are, you know, from a security standpoint, absolutely things have and are continuing to change. But from a policing standpoint, you know, the police department and their partners with Louisiana State Police, they're remaining vigilant. They're using the same policies and procedures that has resulted in significant crime decreases over the past 2 years, and we're seeing that continue through the first month of 2025.
Raphael, do those numbers that you said for historic low violent crime rates include the 14 killed and some three dozen injured?
Absolutely.
So
I mean, we can't take that away. We left them in there, and we're still down. You know, so, I mean, that is, you know, again, that's the thing that struck, because people, and rightfully so, I mean, what happened on January the 1st will never be forgotten. But, you know, to put this in some perspective, you know, there was nothing that law enforcement could have done to prevent it, what happened on January the 1st. But, you know, what we've seen over the past 2 years is law enforcement can do things and have done things that have brought down violent crime and property crime. But to take a look at, you know, what occurred in January of this year, I mean, Newell's right. Yeah, we lost the better part of a week because of the snowstorm, and that absolutely influencing. But in the past, we've had hurricanes and other weather events that have influenced and skewed things as well. So, you know, 2025 started horribly with what happened on January the 1st. But what we've seen as that month played out, you saw law enforcement stick with their game plan. And we continue to see significant declines in not just violent crime, but property crime And going back 11 years, that's the best month of January that the city's experienced from a holistic standpoint in the aggregate of property and violent crime.
Ever. Wow. So impressive. Rafael Goyeneche is our guest here on the Newell Norman Show. I'm Dave Cohen, along with Newell Norman here at the host committee booth on Radio Row as we get ready for the Super Bowl. We'll be back to talk about Super Bowl security and much more with Rafael Goyeneche coming up next here on WWL.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Bell.
We are powered by Lambert Zaney Smith and Soso as partners with us for this event, and we're on Media Row at the host committee booth, and they have been very gracious to allow us to broadcast from here, and it's worked out well, I think, for everyone. Everyone's been excited, friendly. It's been over the top.
Yeah, it's been fantastic.
In so many different ways. We are
great
joined by
We
are joined by Rafael Goyeneche, President, Metropolitan Crime Commission. Rafi, there was a case, State of Louisiana versus Jared Crowther, a guy that had been sentenced many, many years ago, 14 years ago, brought into court by the former law partner of Jason Williams in order to get resentenced. None of it made any sense. None of it passed the smell test. They went ahead with it anyway. And recently, the Fourth Circuit ruled, the AG intervened, didn't like what she saw and said she was going to do something about it, intervened, filed the briefs on the state's behalf, and it turns out she was successful on all fronts. Tell us about it.
Right. So we talked about this case last August. Mm-hmm. So this Jared Crowther pled guilty in criminal district court in April of 2010 to armed robbery and drug charges, and he was an habitual offender, and his guilty plea was for 30 years. So that's something that he acknowledged his guilt and agreed to that sentence, 30 years. He pled guilty. But it wasn't until May of 2024 where Crowther's attorney, as you pointed out, Jason Williams' former law partner, wanted to get him resentenced, and he wanted him resentenced before the new law that was passed went into effect. The new law would have required the Attorney General's office to be notified of any resentencings before that hearing could occur. So that law took effect in August of 2024. So Jason Williams' former law partner filed a motion to recuse the DA So he didn't want Jason Williams case handling, office handling this case, and it went, it ended up with the judge deciding to notify the Attorney General's office. The only problem is the judge notified the Attorney General's office at an address that they had never, ever resided in. So they didn't show
That's
up
interesting.
To court. So the judge decided to appoint his former campaign manager, who's a criminal defense attorney, working for the Loyola Law Clinic, to be the special prosecutor. So under Louisiana law, a prosecutor is not allowed to engage in criminal defense work because it's an inherent conflict of interest. It's established both in the Code of Criminal Procedure and in the Louisiana Constitution. The judge is supposed to follow the laws of the state of Louisiana. It's fundamental. Everybody knows that. But the judge still appointed a practicing criminal defense attorney to be the special prosecutor. And the reason that you don't want a criminal defense attorney making decisions about prosecutions is because our system is supposed to be adversarial. So the state of Louisiana is usually represented by the district attorney's office or the attorney general's office. And if the attorney general's office had been notified, this case never would have gotten off the ground. So it appears that the judge attempted to pull a fast one, notify the attorney general's office at an improper address. And of course, they didn't respond because they never received notice. And when they didn't respond, they appointed criminal defense attorney who entered into a joint motion to resentence this person that had pled guilty 14 years before and knew he was getting a 30-year sentence, and he agreed with that. And they resentenced him to 15 years time served, and he's released. The attorney general's office found out about it after the fact. So they filed a motion with the court to reconsider the resentencing, pointing out that Louisiana law only allows for resentencing within 15 days of the imposition of the original sentence. They waited 14 years to resentence this individual. It's contrary to Louisiana law. The judge denied that request, denied the attempts of the Attorney General's office to intervene in this case. So the Attorney General's office took a writ on the judge, and last week the Fourth Circuit basically reversed Judge Durbiny and granted the Attorney General's office's writs. They determined that Judge Durbiny improperly appointed a special prosecutor in lieu of the Attorney General's office. They vacated the appointment of the criminal defense attorney that the judge appointed as a special prosecutor because he was unqualified to be a prosecutor because of his status as a practicing criminal defense attorney. The judge also reversed Judge Durbiny's denial of the motion to the attorney general's motion to intervene and reinstated Jared Crowther's original 30-year sentence. So he's back in jail, serving the 30-year sentence that he agreed to serve in 2010 when he pled guilty. And Judge Durbiny is now, on record that, if you didn't know, shame on you, Judge. He's one of the longest tenured judges in criminal district court. Shocking that a judge would appoint a special prosecutor that is not qualified to be a special prosecutor under Louisiana law, and also that the judge ignored that the law only permits for resentencing and reconsideration of a sentence within 15 days of the imposition of the original sentence and waited 14 years. The Fourth Circuit took note of all of that, reversed the judge, and now justice is served. And Mr. Crowther is back in the penitentiary where he belongs.
But, Rafi, let me ask you this question. For me, that's not enough, right? I mean, there should be a sanction for this lawyer. There should be a for the, both lawyers, quite frankly. There should be a sanction for the judge. The judge should have asked them to brief the issue. All of this would have been brought out at the trial court. All of it would have been presented to the court before they make that decision. That's the appropriate way to handle this. You don't get the benefit of just pleading ignorance. We elect you to actually read the black letter law. And the beauty of the Fourth Circuit decision, it was done de novo, so they just looked at the black letter law in comparison to the facts, and it, without hesitation, said, doesn't meet the standard of the law by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, of course. So essentially what this was, it was a judicial-sponsored sentence commutation.
That was a bait and switch.
And it was done in a manner that was contrary to the Louisiana Constitution and statutory authority. And, you know, this is just one case. So in 2024,
this was not a mistake of the heart. This was a mistake of the head. No. This was done knowingly and intentionally. Right.
Absolutely.
And they don't have a defense to this otherwise. And the only way that you're going to get this type of behavior to go away is that the Louisiana Supreme Court and the Bar Association needs to take actions on these individuals so that this type of situation never presents itself again. And Loyola should end their affiliation with that lawyer. I mean, this lawyer is instructing. This lawyer is instructing future lawyers and is participating in a sham on the court. If you were to believe that the judge was totally innocent for a moment, they participated in a sham to the court. It's not like this is really hard to figure out what the Constitution says and what the Code of Criminal Procedure says, right?
I mean, absolutely.
It's right
absolutely.
There.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, how many instances?
Get away with it. They tried, but they didn't get away with it.
Well, I'd love to ask Judge Durbing. Well, Judge, how many cases have come before you where a defendant was sentenced 14 years ago that you decide to resentence without any new evidence, without anything, with nothing, nada, other than maybe a relationship with some lawyers? I mean, how does this work?
So the defendant was represented not by one criminal defense attorney, but by two. And the second criminal defense attorney was posing as the special prosecutor. So that, you know, the state was denied the opportunity of an adversarial hearing in this because essentially you had two criminal defense attorneys advocating for the defendant and nobody advocating for the people of the state of Louisiana and no one advocating for following the law. And the judge is supposed to be the impartial arbiter of the law, and he failed in his responsibility. So this is, you know, as you pointed out, and I agree completely, it's not just an indictment of the special prosecutor or the criminal defense attorney or the judge. It's by all three.
And that's why we need a Metro Crime Commission. That's why we need a watchdog. That's why we need someone who is keeping eyes on this. And when things like this happen, that they don't go unnoticed.
Well, it gets worse than that. These same players tried to make the AG, when the AG said that she was going to intervene, you know, like she was some two-headed Gila monster that didn't know what she was doing, right? And here we are, the Fourth Circuit embracing every argument that office had to make as it relates to this particular case. They all knew better. I mean, come on.
Well, that's why they didn't want the AG involved.
No, exactly.
Yep. That's why they were notified at the wrong address. It wasn't an accident. It was intentional. This was a plan.
Yeah, I don't believe in coincidences.
It wasn't even just like a digit or two off or similar to another address. It was just some fictitious address that was never associated with this individual.
And really, the Attorney General's office, if you just Google it, you know, you can get their address, their phone number.
What is that?
And the judge didn't do any of that.
The internet and Google? What is that? Is that something that's out there?
I know.
My 11-year-old granddaughter could have seen this train coming and figured it out. I mean, it's just...
Oh, but you know, AG's
until there's a sanction,
well done.
Until there's a sanction and until there's accountability, this does not change. It'll present itself in another fashion. Maybe the AG will recognize it. Maybe the Metropolitan Crime Commission picks up on it, but maybe not.
Yeah, because how many cases a day go before how many judges and how many parishes and how many municipalities, and you can't watch it all. But you're right. Unless there are consequences. All right.
Yep. Well, Rafi, we thank you so much for joining us today. We're doing an abbreviated interview. We've got a lot of folks headed our way. In fact, we are fortunate to have Spencer Rattler will be joining us when we return. So stay with us.
Yeah, he's sitting down right now. There we're hearing from Spencer Rattler coming up next. Oh, we're back.
Oh, we're back.
It's all right. We've been talking with Spencer Rattler, Saints quarterback. Spencer Rattler is here with us on WWL. I'm Dave Cohen along with Newell Norman. You got in seven games in your rookie season, started six games. Did you ever imagine your first year in the NFL you'd be starting six games for the New Orleans Saints?
You know what? I didn't. You know, played a lot earlier than expected, but super happy, you know, super grateful that I got to get those reps, get that experience, get thrown in that fire.
What surprised you the most?
What surprised me the most? I mean, football is football at the end of the day. I wouldn't say nothing surprised me too much. You know, you just had to be super detailed. The preparation throughout the week, I guess you can say, is, you know, ramped up when you're the starter. You know,
is there an appreciable difference in the speed from collegiate football to pro football?
You always hear that you're waiting for the game to slow down for you.
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. I mean, like, football is football. Obviously, these guys are running around faster than college, you know, for sure.
A little bigger, too.
A little bigger, faster. But it's all, you know, up top, what you're thinking, your mental. It's a chess match out there. Smart guys on both sides of the ball, great coaches. So you're playing the best in the world every week, so you got to bring your A game.
You've gotten to spend your rookie season here in New Orleans, and now you're seeing New Orleans in the spotlight worldwide with the Super Bowl in town. What's your experience been like the last few days?
It's been fun. Yeah. It's been fun. It's been busy. You know, meeting so many great people, getting to network and you know, sit down and talk with people like you guys. You know, it's awesome. A lot of fun events, a lot of different, you know, parties, little gatherings. So it's been really fun.
You're headed back home, you said, to Phoenix, and there's a fun event about to happen over there that everyone talks about.
That's right, yeah. First time ever, I'm making it out to the Waste Management, you know, open Sunday morning.
The golf tournament,
yep. So
that's like Mardi Gras in Phoenix.
That's how they treat it.
If you're on hole 16, are you got tickets to the 16th hole?
On the 16th hole, yep.
All right.
So I'm going to be looking for
you. Wear your helmet, man. Wear your helmet.
Hey, the people, even not on the 16th hole, those people are getting rowdy. I'm not getting too rowdy out there. I'm trying to go, you know, watch, you know, hang with a couple of my buddies.
We don't want you getting hurt or anything.
That's right. Then watch the game later at home.
Absolutely.
How much attention are you paying to what's going on here in the offseason with the search for a new coach, with everything else going on surrounding the Saints?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously you're going to see all the news and all the experts with their opinions and stuff like that. But, you know, for me, I kind of just control what I can, because you can't control who the coach is going to be. I'm confident they'll make the right decision, and I'm looking forward to whoever it's going to be.
Everybody's dream, obviously, when you go to the NFL is to play in a Super Bowl. You're seeing the Super Bowl hype and craziness now here in New Orleans. Does that just intensify that drive in you to say, yeah, we need to do what we need to do to get back to that Super Bowl?
No doubt. I mean, seeing it in your own city, you know, where you play, it's cool. And everybody's dreams is to make it to the Super Bowl. So, you know, hopefully one day we can do that. And, yeah, I mean, that's the main reason why you play this game, is to get into games like this.
Absolutely. You had a great season. I really loved following you. You ducked so many tackles. I mean, you had more moves. I loved it. I mean, I just I love that.
He was running for his life.
But I love that. I mean, it was just kind of slippery. You know? And it was like, you know, you hear, and then all of a sudden I see your head pop up over there with the ball. You know,
is that kind of looking down the field. Is that your persona as a player?
You know, I've always kind of had that little, you know, slippery factor, like you could say, I guess, you know, and kind of avoiding taking too big of hits and, you know, protecting yourself, but also, you know, getting positive plays out of it and trying to make something happen. So, And I think I could use my legs even more. You know, that's one thing I want to do this upcoming season.
That's the beauty of youth.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, but
that's where the league's headed.
Patrick Mahomes ain't so young. That's he's still running.
Teams that win is running quarterbacks when they have to. And obviously, you got to win from the pocket. And we all know that. But you got to extend and create.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and that's what's so exciting is that second and third opportunity as you're breaking tackles and ducking tackles and still being able to look down the field and find somebody open. Of course, you need receivers that know that's happening, right?
No doubt.
Move to the open space.
No doubt. I mean, I think scramble drill is a huge thing. And honestly, probably could have, worked it a little even more throughout practice this year. You know, I could have made more of an emphasis on that.
To be honest, that wasn't the focus of the team going in. Mm-hmm. A quarterback who was going to be scrambling a lot, a quarterback who was going to be out of the pocket. Maybe over time, when you get to work with these guys more and they know, hey, Spencer's going to be moving and you need to get to the spot where he can get you the ball, you might have a different result.
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. So, we'll see. Obviously, a lot of stuff, a lot of moving parts, out here. So, like I said, I'm just controlling what I can and I want to come back a better player and get back to work with the guys.
What's your message to the Houdat Nation as they watch two other teams playing in the Super Bowl in their town this year and they're looking ahead to the future? What do you want to share with your fans?
I would just say stay ready. Be ready.
Yeah. You tried the gumbo?
No, I haven't today. I might have to.
All right. So Drew Brees was here a few minutes ago.
Oh, wow.
So we got the past and the future of the Saints.
Yep.
And they're serving the gumbo over rice or potato salad. He tried them both. So we want you to try them both and then let us know.
Okay. Let us know what your vote is.
Okay, we'll do. We'll do. I'm pretty hungry, so that'll be good.
Well, have fun at home. I know it's always great to get back home, and spend time with your folks there and have a great time. I'm sure you'll be back here soon, right?
Yep, no doubt.
I just got one more question. Our morning guy, Tommy Tucker.
Yeah.
He calls you, and I got to move the microphone so I don't break everybody's ears. He calls you the Rattler. Have you heard that? Have you heard that?
About that? I probably have heard it somewhere, but I like it.
Okay.
I like it a lot.
I don't know if you'd heard that Tommy calls you that because he calls a lot.
We might have to get that on a shirt or something.
There you go.
All right. Thank you, Spencer, for stopping by. Let us know which gumbo you like better.
I appreciate you guys.
Hey, good luck to you, my friend.
All right. We're back here on WWL after this to find out which gumbo Spencer Rattler prefers. It is a party here in the convention center on Media Row, and it's just amazing that because of the 4-night minimum stay at the hotels, we have seen a crush of more people come in today. And some of them have told us they came in today because they had to stay tonight. And if I'm paying the night, I'm staying the night. So a lot of people in town. That was fun talking to Spencer Rattler.
Absolutely.
What an optimistic and really full of hope kind of guy. And looking forward to the future. Steve Geller from WWL Sports, our sports director, joins us. We asked him if he was paying attention to the coaching search.
Yep.
And he said, of course, we're all following it. The players really have no role in it, but it seems like the coaching search really, there's no more searching. The search has ended, right?
Right, it's the coaching wait now.
Right.
Just because nothing can become official, obviously, until after the big game on Sunday. You can't name your head coach if he's playing coaching in this game, and it's all looking like that it's going to be Kellen Moore, Eagles offensive coordinator, unless, he backs out, I would think, last minute, but it's all signs pointing right now that he's going to be that guy. You would think, though, the Saints would have a pretty good idea, or they would have moved on and named somebody else by now.
Do we know, because they're practicing at the Saints facility, did they set him up in the head coach's office at Saints camp?
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, while he's there, while the team's practicing, might as well take a tour of the whole facility, check out maybe his new office.
Well, no, just tell him, man, if you need somewhere to work, you can just have this office,
right,
the one that says head coach on the door.
It just so happens to be the head coach, and you can work in here.
All things considered, from what I understand, our training facilities are probably in the top tier of the NFL. Is that true?
They've definitely had a major upgrade over there. I remember back in the day of covering the Hornets/Pelicans, and they would be at the Alario Center holding practices. Now that whole area is like a big, I call it like the Benson campus. You have the Saints and the Pelicans working out together there. They just upgraded the whole indoor facility, also the cafeteria for the players as well. The indoor facility, too, also now has a balcony viewing area for special guests that come in so they don't have to be on the field and getting in the way of anything going on with players. Might trip them up or, anything could happen there. But, from the new equipment room to cryo chambers, massage table, everything. The Saints definitely have the latest and greatest.
The Louisiana Stadium and Exposition District, which manages that facility, it's owned by the state of Louisiana, really has put a lot of effort into making sure that the Saints have everything they need to remain competitive. They put $653 million into upgrading the Superdome as well. The Saints put some of that money forward, the rest tax dollars and other sources. But yeah, the state has made a point of keeping that facility current. We joke about, you know, who's in the head coach's office, but you follow the Eagles. You've been Eagles fan since you were a child.
Yeah, grew up in New Jersey and was an Eagles fan.
So what do you think about this pick for the Saints coach?
I think Kellen is definitely, you keep hearing about the offensive mind that he is, and I think the biggest key for me is he adapts to the roster he has so well, dealing with Dak Prescott and the Cowboys, then moved on to the Chargers and got a guy like Justin Herbert. Their running game wasn't so strong with the Chargers, so it wasn't a focus. But then going to Philly with that offensive line and a guy like Saquon Barkley, he kind of adjusted his, I would say, pass happy offense, and kind of adjusted to a more run-centric offense for the Eagles. And you see how much success they've had this year. A big key of that,
they're in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we joke a lot about, me, Bobby, Mike Dettillier, about the fact that I hope that if Kellen Moore's coming, he could bring some of that offensive line with him down here. We could sure use that kind of protection.
We were talking to the Caesars head lead odds maker earlier. Very interesting conversation. Spread's at one now.
Oh, it went down.
Yeah.
I know it was at 1.5 for the longest time. It hadn't fluctuated.
He kind of thought it might be a pick 'em by the time we get to game time.
Yeah. The money's moving towards Philly.
That's pretty impressive considering, for me, always worry about the fact with the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, if Pat Mahomes has the ball in the closing minutes, it's almost, you know, done deal with him.
Yeah, the other team's not getting it back, and it will end with a score.
Exactly. One way or another, the Chiefs always find the way to win, it seems like. So that's a big concern. We saw that 2 years ago, the Super Bowl, Eagles versus Chiefs. Mahomes and KC were able to come back and take down Philly after Philadelphia had jumped out to a lead.
Yeah, all right. We'll see what happens. Well, right now, we got to see what's going to happen for the next 3 hours here on WWL. Hey, Scoot.
I just met. Oh, was that too loud? I just met Colin Moore. And talk to him.
Oh, nice.
And so I'm going to post the interview on Scoot on the Air Facebook.
Well, we want to hear about that when you get on the air here.
He didn't, you know, look, he didn't want to talk about much. Yeah. He didn't want to talk too much about New Orleans.
Right, because he doesn't want the Saints to get in trouble, and then, boom, they end up losing last draft picks like the Arizona Cardinals happened.
But I asked him, I said, look, you're here. You can't help but look around and think, what would it be like to live here?
Yeah.
We were just joking. Is he working out of the Saints head coaching office? Because they're practicing, the Eagles are, at the Saints facility.
Yeah, and he looks younger in person than he does on TV.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Scoot's
so we'll
up
talk
next.
About that.
So you'll hear about his interview with Colin Moore.
Let me just get a couple of details in here.
Sure.
Number of texts coming in about rideshare. Delgado Community College at 5018 Orleans Avenue, Oakwood Shopping Center behind JCPenney's, New Orleans East Old Plaza Mall at 5700 Reed Road, Audubon Nature Institute at 6500 Magazine. The cost is $10 per rider.
So
children 12 and under, they will bring you to the convention center, and then you can go from there. The hours of operation at 2 to 11 on Friday, 8 to 11 on Saturday. And that's it.
All right. And come today, because it goes up to $40 to get in after today.